Thank you for joining Talk Art with Ashley. I'm here to give you artspiration. If this is your first time here, artspiration is my way of finding inspiration to create through art. Again, thank you for joining us. I have a great talk in store for you today. Welcome back to Talk Art with Ashley. You are listening to the Poet Series. Here, I will feature lady poets who have touched me with their language. You'll be introduced to timeless pieces of poetry. This poetry has soothed my heart and reminded me to hope. I pray the same for you. Enjoy. The first poet I'd like to introduce is named Cloudy. She's a 17-year-old performance poet from Sacramento, California. She has been writing for 6 years and performing for 3. Cloudy attends Sacramento High School. She enjoys most of the performing arts, going to random concerts and building people up. Cloudy self-published her first book, Receipts of Ungiven Gifts, in November of 2019, which you can find on Amazon. Cloudy is one of Sacramento's 2020 Youth Poet Laureates. She has participated in multiple projects around Sacramento to try and build up the community. Her internship with the Crocker Art Museum allows her to spread art throughout areas that usually would not have access to it. Cloudy is working on putting together a poetry festival in Sacramento and plans to keep growing within the art as well as within herself. I've known her since she was 5 years old. This gorgeous young lady, who I call Cheyenne and consider a sister.
There's folklore that if you swallow a piece of gum, it takes your body 7 years to completely digest it. I was 5 the first time I heard that it took 7 whole years to digest one piece of bubble gum. As any curious and right-minded 5-year-old would do, I asked my grandmother to buy me a pack of gum, and after I chewed and swallowed a whole pack of Spearmint 5 gum behind her back, I was so proud of myself. I had a smile that stretched from ear to ear that proved I had just accomplished something incredible. In 7 years, I would free this gum from my body, and it would be lime green and minty, and there is nothing better than that to a 5-year-old. When I was 12, I found out the body never fully digests corn. As any intelligent 12-year-old would do, I fell in love with corn and ate it every night with dinner. Figured this way, I could never die of starvation. My body had enough energy to live off of, plus corn was healthy and yellow, and for a self-conscious 12-year-old, there's nothing better than bright and healthy. I was 14 when I met you. I was 15 when I learned that you weren't something I could digest and just let go of in a few years. You weren't something that would get lost in my digestive tract. You held on to the nitty-gritty crevices of me. You were hard to scrape out. You found your way to my heart. As any 14-year-old girl would do, I approached and ingested you with no caution. Walked into you with open palms, a ready heart, and a naive mind. And there were dozens of signs. They all pointed me elsewhere, warned of danger, and tried to build a wall between us, but you made me laugh. And when you smiled, it was like nothing else mattered. You were the beginning, middle, and end to a story. You were the sun, the moon, the stars, the tide, gravity. You were like a piece of home. You were the window, the door, the roof. You were the whole damn room. You made my digestive tract your bitch. No toxins could touch you. I never stood a chance, even though I tried to come out the other end with minimal damage. I choked on reality when you got done with me. I figured that if I take you in smaller portions, I would be able to keep my body at bay. If I could love like Adam's bond, unrecognized and undetected, then maybe it'd all be okay. But when I began to regurgitate pieces of myself trying to take you on, I realized that some things just aren't meant to be inside me. Some things are simply indigestible.
So I'm here with Cloudy. I have a few questions for her, and we're just gonna talk about the poem. Debrief.
Hey y'all, I'm Cloudy. It's great to be here with you, share this frequency, and I hope you guys enjoy.
Welcome, I'm so excited. Okay, my first question is, the poem goes through stages from childhood to adolescence. What helped you realize the relationship you're talking about was indigestible and, in a sense, toxic? What clues could you share that could help others notice these signs?
Well, I had been in this this very low-high situation with this person for about 3 years, and it was just constantly me feeling disrespect, me feeling like I wasn't good enough. And it was little things. It was like no public outings with this person, especially during the day. Or if we were in public together, I would be introduced as a friend, or not meeting his friends outside of our school, or meeting the family members, the mom, you know, stuff like that, while that person knew my whole entire family and was very much embedded in my life. And so when you're in a relationship or a situation and you love that person, you just have to think about, is that relationship worth you? Is it worth giving up parts of your worth, and is it respecting you? That's where that poem came from.
Wow. Okay. What would healthy look like in a relationship with you?
Healthy, I think that there's a few things. Like for me, it's I need communication. I need people to be able to talk to me and not get angry, not get loud, not assume that different things are coming out of my mouth and stuff like that. I think that being able to talk to each other and understand each other, regardless of the situation, and being able to talk through it is very important. I don't get the point of badgering the person you're with, or always questioning what they're doing, or going through their phone. If you have to do that, then you don't trust them. You don't respect them enough you don't respect their privacy, and therefore you don't really need to be in that situation. Either they need to work on themselves, or you need to work on yourself. And so having those boundaries in place, respecting each other, and making sure you guys are headed inside the same place. So if you yourself don't have many goals and the person you're with does have a lot of goals, you guys probably aren't compatible, or vice versa. If they don't have a lot of goals and you do, then you guys are not compatible and you shouldn't be in that relationship, because it's going to cause problems. So just making sure that you and the person you're with have a very good understanding of who you are. And so there's a dating phase, there's a relationship phase, there's an exclusive phase, and you need to be able to talk about every single one of those things with your partner, because they all are different.
Thank you for those drops of wisdom. I appreciate it. How can we keep all the pieces of ourselves without losing them in a relationship?
So making sure your values match. It's if that person is like, yeah, I don't want to argue, just like you're like, I don't want to argue, then that's fine. If you guys both don't like going out in public too often, you guys like staying inside more with each other. If you guys want to do X, Y, and Z together, and you guys will do X, Y, and Z together. If you guys both are big on family, you guys should talk about family. If you're both big on religion, meditation, whatever it is, there should be like this commonality between you guys, this common ground somewhere, and being at the core of a relationship. Why did you guys first come together? What made you guys want to be together? Where did that come from? And going back to that all the time to make sure that you guys are still feeling like there's still a part of the relationship that's feeling new. Because I know that a lot of people are like, oh, we've been together for 7, 10 years. It's getting old. It's getting routine. Let's try and stay away from that. And then making sure there's a mutual respect and being able to talk to your partner about everything. If it is getting boring, whether it's inside the bedroom or inside the dates and stuff, you guys should be able to talk about that, bring new stuff in, and talk to other people. You guys should have personal time, personal space. You guys should have friends. All of that goes into being healthy and keeping yourself intact.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is my sis, y'all. I'm like really feeling extremely blessed to hear you talk the way you're talking, and seeing you grow up, and just gorgeous, just a gorgeous person, physically, mentally, spiritually. It's just really nice to have this open conversation.
And it all has been a journey, you know, like I was definitely not a mature just person out of nowhere. It took me going through that situation and embarrassing myself multiple times over this person. It took me crying. It took my friends telling me, I'm not going to listen to you talk about him anymore. I'm not going to entertain that situation anymore. Yeah. You're better than that. Here's some people who actually love you. Let me show you what this looks like.
Right.
Watching my other friends' relationships and how those guys respected them.
Preach.
It's all these different things. And it took 3 years for me to leave this person alone. And they're not even completely out of my life yet. Because that still was my best friend for so long. But just knowing that that will never be someone that I can have a relationship with, because the respect isn't there. So that it took a long time. It takes everybody. It's a journey. But I would say get right with yourself. And if you can't get right with yourself, get right with a higher entity. Mm-hmm. Like meditating has helped. Just getting to know myself. Taking like me and my friends taking time to just be friends and not talk about boy drama or girl drama or school drama. It helps get to know yourself. Get to know the people around you.
Right. Okay. Thank you again.
No problem, of course.
And now to the next poem.
My vagina is not a vacation from your girlfriend's body. To you, I am just perishable anatomy, but I am someone else's home. Signed, we are not in love, just lonely.
So we're back with Cloudy to talk about that next poem.
That poem was definitely, it was derived from a little bit of anger and it was derived from like concern. It's something that hasn't been said before, like in that way. Mm-hmm. It's a very bold, but like lighthearted poem at the same time.
Yes.
And a lot of people reacted to it very well. A lot of people love that poem, even though it's so short.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is that I don't think many people take it and learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that situation that I was particularly talking about, I couldn't give that person what they needed. That person wanted a relationship from me and they wanted more, and I was like, I am not your home. I don't want to be home right now, and even if we tried to, we're not meant to be together, and I know that. And this person had tried to introduce me to his mom and wanted to be together, and I was like, this is not a situation that you want to be in. I am not ready for that, and I don't think that emotionally or spiritually he was ready for a relationship either.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where that poem derived from. Just a little background on it.
Thank you. So how does a woman know that she's home to a man?
I think you feel it. Like, when in the situation, if you want him to be your home, or you want, in any case, her to be your home, mm-hmm. there's a way that people take care of you physically and sexually. Mm-hmm. In the situation of like just sex, I mean, guys tend to make sure that the women they love come. They just do. They make sure they're taken
first,
care of.
Right?
Yeah, first they make sure they're taken care of. They want them to feel good. They want them to have that mutual feeling and that mutual connection when they're having sex. But when they're not, it's quick. It's sometimes uncomfortable. It's rough. And
yeah.
That isn't home. Right. That's not comfortable. That's not something that you guys are sharing. That's only for him or for her. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's very obvious, and us as women, we try to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
We do try to ignore it. We try to put it to the side and say, oh, maybe they're still learning. Maybe this and this can change like over the course of the relationship. But if you're already in that relationship, that should have already been discussion or a boundary that was gone over. And that's how you should know if you're home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How should or could women interact when around men who are in a relationship?
So there's a lot of different type of situations, but I just want to go back to girl code. I mean, there's no obvious book like the Bible or anything that's like, oh, this is girl code. But you know, when you're acting inappropriately in front of a man who's in a relationship,
yes.
You know, when you're overstepping your boundaries, and you know, as a person who's in a relationship, when you're being a little too jealous, when you're being a little too shiesty about it. Like, some men have very close relationships with female friends. And as someone who's in a relationship with a person who has close female friends, I am okay with that. As long as those girls or those women know that they are not going to be in a relationship with him while we are in a relationship. As long as they're not having relations with him. As long as they're not flirting with him. And it's not only on the women, too. If your man or if your girlfriend or your partner is not expressing that they're in a relationship, or that what the people around them are doing isn't respectful of the relationship, then it's not all on the other person. Because I could get mad at other females if they know that I'm in a relationship with that person. But if they don't, it's not on them.
Right.
So I think that when you're around someone who is in a relationship, first off, there should not be any flirting. There should not be any inappropriate touching. There should not be any downplaying of that person's relationship. You shouldn't down talk the person that they're in a relationship with unless that person is not good for them.
And that would be a friendly conversation. Yeah,
that would be a friendly conversation. It wouldn't be
an inappropriate conversation.
And so there should be no hinting at, oh, we should have a future together either. Because if that conversation was going to take place, it should have taken place before the relationship started.
Yes.
Or it should take place after a relationship has ended.
Yeah.
It's not appropriate to have it while someone is in a relationship trying to figure out whether or not they're going to have a future with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair to the relationship.
Right.
So that's my thoughts on that.
I felt a lot of women's solidarity in reading this poem. Was that an intention of yours when writing this? Did you aim to make women feel connected, or is this just a different perspective? How did you want the reader or audience to feel?
So both. It was a different perspective and it was solidarity. I knew that this person was going to find a girl that he loved, that wanted to be with him, that supported his goals, his dreams, that wanted to meet his mom and his family, and wanted to support him when he was crying and stuff. I was not that person for him. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't. And I would try and tell him that, and he just wouldn't get it. And I was like, okay, well, this is where this has to end, because I am now just an elongated vacation for you. And you need to find someone who is going to support you the way you want to be supported. And so in that situation, I was blocking another girl's blessing.
Yes.
And that is not my intention. I don't want to ever waste someone's time. I don't want to drag on a situation that does not need to be dragged on. It's not the best use of your time. It's not the best use of your energy.
Very mature of you to say that.
Like, why would we go on dates and waste money when we know that we're not going to be compatible?
Right.
You know, why would we put in the emotional labor of introducing you to the family and then going through a breakup if we already know we're not emotionally compatible?
Yeah.
And so that's what that came from. And at the same time, it was like, I know that there is somebody that I want to be with, whether it's a man or a woman. I know there's somebody who out there has the same morals, values, and other like interests that I have. I want to be with that person, and that person that I was in the situation with, that was not my person. Mm-hmm. And I was completely fine with that. They are still waiting for me. Mm-hmm. And so that's where that poem came from. And for the audience, I wanted people to take that in. I want them to relate to it, to figure out in their situation or relationship, are they vacation or are they home? Are they taking away somebody else's home? Are they breaking somebody's home? What can you do to not only preserve your home, but preserve somebody else's?
Yeah.
And why aren't we all thinking about that?
Right.
Why aren't we all trying to make sure that everybody is making healthy decisions that are going to benefit our future? So that's what that was about.
Yeah. Thank you, Cloudy.
Lastly, I just want to say thank you, Cloudy, for sharing your words, your wisdom, your experience, your thoughts, your heart. I really thoroughly enjoy reading your poetry and look forward to what is to come from you.